In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He is he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Judith, for reading the Bible for us just then. Please do keep that Bible open in front of you, page 886. It'll be a great help for you and a great help for me as well. Or if you've got it on your phone, why don't you put your phone on silent or airplane mode and keep that app open, that Bible app open. I'm going to pray for us, though, as we get started. And I'm going to ask that God would speak to us through the words that we're holding in our hands and that he would show us the Word as we read these words. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that you have spoken to us through the Word that we're about to read about now. And Father, I pray, we all pray, that you would speak to us through these words about the Word. Would we see him all the more clearly? Would our hearts be thrilled by him? And would we love him all the more? And would we want to live for him in the days, weeks, months ahead? Amen. Well, what is the biggest question that you will ever answer? What's the biggest question you'll ever answer? It's not, will you marry me? It's not, what career do you want to embark on? It's not the crunch question in the interview for that job or that university course. It's not the question, the key question that the Home Office will ask you in your interview. No, the biggest question that you will ever answer is the one that I'm going to tell you right now. It's this. Who is Jesus? It's a question that the Bible says your eternity hangs on, affecting not just the day-to-day of the here and now, but your very being and your very soul for all of forever. Who is Jesus? Three short words, one life-changing answer. And that is a question that this book that you're holding in your hands right now, John's Gospel, was written to answer. Who is Jesus? Ask the people out there on the streets of Sheffield that question, who is Jesus, and you'll get a variety of answers. And that number of answers increases all the more. Some will tell you he's a good man. Others will tell you he's a good teacher. Others will tell you he's a prophet, but nothing more. They'll tell you he's someone to follow the teachings of, someone to follow the example of, someone to impress, to ignore, to hate. Well, perhaps you'd add something extra to that list. Who is Jesus? That's not just a question for the start of your Christian life. It's not just a question that you start when you become, that you ask when you become a Christian. No, it's a question that we as Christians answer every single day. Who is Jesus? Do I still want to follow him? Who is Jesus? Is he still relevant for my life? Well, we're starting a new series in John's Gospel today, and we've given the series the title, Come and See. So that's the invitation this morning. Come and see. Come and see who Jesus is. Come and see who he really is. Not who we think he is, but who he reveals himself to be. That's my prayer for all of us this morning. Well, we see three things about Jesus in this introduction to John's Gospel, and we're going to take them in turn. So let's get our Bibles open if we've closed them, and we're in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 for our first point. And we see here that the Word is God. Because John starts this book about Jesus not by turning our eyes down towards a baby in a manger. He doesn't turn our eyes back to the events of history. No, John turns our eyes upwards to one called the Word. Do you see that down there in verses 1 and 2? In the beginning was the Word. How do you feel about words? We live in an image-based world these days, don't we? Books became blogs, which became short tweets, which became Instagram pictures and TikTok videos and probably something else that I don't even know about. And words became boring. Words became boring. But the Word here is overflowing with life, with joy, with power, with meaning, and with hope. And especially so when you read that word, Word, in the light of the rest of the Bible. Because at the very start of the Bible, Genesis tells us that God created all things out of nothing through his words. So God's words are immensely powerful. They bring things into being out of nothing. And so does this word. Later in the Bible, in Psalm 107, verse 20, we read that God sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So God's words rescue and heal. And so does this word. And of course, as we all know, you get to know someone by talking and listening to them, to their words. And this word here is also a revealing message. Powerful, saving, healing, revealing. But this word is more than just something that's written or spoken. Because have a look at verse 1 again. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, this word is not this word is a person. He's not human, but he is someone. This word was God. The word was there in the beginning, there before the very beginning of all things. Go back as far as you can imagine to the very first nanosecond of the Big Bang, and the word was there with God. Go back even further, before even the start of time, and the word was there along with God. You see, our minds are starting to trip up, aren't they? How can God be there and the word be there both at the beginning and before the beginning? Our minds are starting to trip up. This is meant to lead us to wonder and worship. The word was with God, and the word was God. This word made all things. Do you see down there in verse 3? All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. See, this word is not just God. He's not just powerful, saving, and revealing. He's also the creator. Do you see what John's doing? He's layering this up and up and up, putting layers and layers, stretching and expanding our understanding of who this word is. He's pushing the limits of what we can think about of what we think we can think about. And he's taken us beyond that into the realm of wonder and worship. But look, there's more down here. Have a look at verse 4. In him was life. You see, this word is not just alive like us. He is the very source of life. It's not like he took something that was out there and made something out of it and gave it to us. No, in the word was life. He's the source, the spring of all life and existence that kind of bursts out and gushes forwards and flows outwards and onwards. And that life, do you see it down there in verse 4? Was the light of humanity. What do you think of when you think of light? Goodness, truth, hope, love, warmth, justice. Those things all find their source in this word. Goodness that outshines evil, truth that outpaces falsehood, love that overpowers hatred, justice that overcomes injustice. That all comes from this word. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So who is Jesus? Is your vision expanded yet? Has your mind tripped over yet? Is your heart thrilled? Because this word is ultimate goodness. He is the spring of life. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. He's with God and also God. He's powerful, saving, healing, and revealing. This word is deeply good and deeply attractive. But, and here's the but. Because just like the moth that's attracted to the light, as good as this word is, there's something completely other about him. You know, just imagine the moth. The moth is trying to get to the light bulb, but he can never quite get there. Just bounces off the glass, is separated from the light filament inside. And no matter how attracted to the light it is, he can't reach the light. And that's the same with us. Because how can we possibly ever know this word who's so exalted and so up there and out there, he's overwhelming and overpowering. How can we possibly ever know him? Well, we come to our second point here, and we see in verses 14 to 18 that the word became flesh. C.S. Lewis and Tim Keller talk about this example of getting to know God. They talk about one of Shakespeare's plays. Just imagine for a moment one of Shakespeare's plays and think of the characters in that play. When God is this different to us, we have as much chance of getting to know God as the characters in one of Shakespeare's plays have of getting to know him. They can't ever get to know him. How could Hamlet ever get to know Shakespeare? Can't get to know him because you can't ever meet him. He's out there. He's on a different level of existence to the characters. But what if Shakespeare wrote himself into one of those plays? What if Shakespeare were to write himself into the story as a character, walking and talking, meeting the people in his stories? Then those characters might be able to meet him. Then they might be able to talk with him. Then they might be able to get to know him and perhaps even become friends with him. The core truth of Christianity is what I'm about to tell you here. The greatest miracle, the greatest moment in history, the greatest thing that could ever happen is written down there in verse 14. Just have a look down there for a moment. The word that we've just been talking about, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, this is the author of everything writing himself into the story that he wrote so that we, the characters in this story, might get to know him. This is the Word who existed before time started, who created all things, coming at one point and becoming a fetus, growing into a child, growing up into a teenager, becoming an adult. That's Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. Jesus had a foot in both camps. He was fully God and fully human. So he was meek and mild, like we sing about on Christmas, in the Advent Christmas carols. But he was also Almighty God. He had an umbilical cord where life-giving sustenance was flowing to him from his mum. But he was also the overflowing fountainhead of all life and light. He had podgy baby hands, but hands that hung the galaxies, the biggest galaxies in the deepest, darkest reaches of the universe. He had cries that were soothed by the sound of his mother's voice, but he was also the Word that created and saves. He smiled as he began to recognize his mum's face, but he saw his father, God, from eternity, face to face. Is your vision expanded yet? Has your mind tripped over yet? Is your heart thrilled? The Word became flesh. That's who Jesus is. The Word became flesh. And he did all that so that he might dwell amongst us, that he might live amongst us. Do you see that down there, verse 14? The Greek word that's translated dwell or dwelt there is a bit of an unexpected one, as if anything in this passage could ever be expected. Now, that word there, dwell, literally means to tent, to pitch a tent, like some of us have done this summer, to pitch a tent, to camp. The Word became flesh and camped among us. It seems like a strange word until you remember that God had already lived in a tent amongst his people in some senses. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And having rescued them, God gave his people instructions for how to make the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was a giant tent, which would be at the center of God's people as God led them from rescue from slavery in Egypt to their home in the promised land. At the end of Exodus, when the tabernacle is completed, we read in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, that this happens. The cloud covered the tent of meeting, that's the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That happened at the end of Exodus. God dwelt amongst his people in that tabernacle as they journeyed from Egypt to their promised land. But it was sporadic. It was, you know, not all the time. It was at a distance as well. And it was only for a few people amongst the people to see. But you see what's happening here with Jesus. In the birth of Jesus, God again dwells amongst his people. But now it's physical. Now it's full presence. It's up close amongst his people, all of us. Do you see how John describes it at the end of verse 14? Have a look down there at verse 14. John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace, full of kindness, full of steadfast love towards his people, never changing, never ending love and goodness towards his people, towards you. That's what God's like. That's how Jesus reveals God. Truth, not that God lied in the past, but rather that in Jesus we see who God truly is. That's why verse 18 says, have a look down at verse 18, that's why it says that no one has ever seen God, But the only God who's at the Father's side, that's the Word, that's Jesus, he has made him known. Well, we started off by asking, who is Jesus? He is the Word, the powerful, saving and healing, creating God, life and light. He's all that. And he became flesh, the author who wrote himself into the story. God, come and live amongst his people that we might know him. Which sounds great, doesn't it? Why would anyone not want that? Doesn't it sound amazing and wonderful? Why would people not want that? Well, we come here to our third point, which is that the word must be received. Have a look down at verses 6 to 13. The word must be received. Verse 9 puts it this way: the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Why would anyone not want that? Well, have a look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Have a look at verse 11. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. That's us. That's the natural condition of humanity. We don't know or want this true light. You see, this problem is not just one of separation. He is up there until he came down here. The problem is not just one of separation, but it's one of rejection. But look, we need to be honest this morning. John doesn't allow us to blame the world out there. Because the rejection of Jesus is something that we see in our hearts each and every day. There are times, aren't there, when it's easier for us to pretend that he doesn't exist. When we want to do something that he tells us not to do. When we want to watch something that he tells us not to watch. When we want to say something that he tells us not to say. Friends, the problem isn't simply out there. The problem is in our hearts too. But look, the world didn't want him, but yet some do. What's that all about? Have a look down at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, these are ones who receive and believe in him. But they don't do so because they're born in a particular country, or because they're cleverer, or because they're good people who make good decisions. No, they did this because they were born of God. It was God's work that led them to believe and receive and become a child of God, in much the same way that it was your father and mother's work that led to you being born and being their child. If we're Christians, it's because God has called us to believe. He has made us that. It's not because we're clever or because we've made the right decisions or because we're born in the UK or wherever. No, we are born of God because he wanted us to be. So friends, the question comes again. Who is Jesus? Who is he? And the question that follows up that we finish with is this. Will you receive him? At the start, I asked that question, the biggest question you'll ever answer. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the Word who is God. He's the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And he is the Word that must be received. We're going to take a few moments for quiet reflection. Musicians, if you'd like to come up and be ready. We've got a few moments of quiet reflection. Perhaps you want to answer those questions in your heart right now. Who is Jesus? And will you receive him? I'm going to pray. Lead us in a prayer. Perhaps you want to say amen at the end of this. This is a prayer based on Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is about longing for the dwelling place of God, which is ultimately the Lord Jesus. So let's pray. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the Lord Jesus. My heart and flesh sing for joy for the living God. For a day with Jesus is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. We pray prayers like that, and our hearts are a million miles away. So would you be at work in us? Would you show us again who the Lord Jesus is? And would you help us to come and see him and follow him all the days of our lives? Amen. Let's stand and sing.